first in Wisconsin's education system, vouchers are a point of contention. The program uses public money to pay for students to attend private schools. But our guest says we've got even more education money moving around among public school districts. It's called open enrollment, and it affects thousands of students. Our guest calls it the largest school choice program in Wisconsin, and it lets students in one district apply to attend schools in any other district in the state. And the public funding that would have gone to that homeschool, most of it follows the student to the new district. We're talking about what that means for students and Wisconsin's public education system. And there's room for you in this conversation at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about open enrollment? Are you or does somebody you know partake in open enrollment? How did the process work for you? Why'd you make the decision? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Alan Borsig is a senior fellow in law and public policy at Marquette University Law School and an education columnist with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Alan, welcome back to Central Time.
Glad to be here.
Open enrollment is happening right now. The application period started February 1st. It runs until April 30th. We just mentioned a little bit about what open enrollment does. Tell us more about how it works.
Well, and at the heart of it, it's really pretty simple. Anyone who is in any school district in Wisconsin is entitled to apply to attend a public school in any other district in Wisconsin. The district that they're applying to can turn them down if they don't have space and a few other reasons, some of which are not always so clear why the district is doing this. But nonetheless, it's happening to more than 65,000 students each year in Wisconsin, which is to say, somewhere around 7 or 8% of all the public school students in the state are open enrolling, and they don't have to pay any tuition. These are all interactions between one public school district and another public school district. There's no restrictions on where. If I lived in Kenosha and wanted to go to school in Superior, it would be perfectly legal. Might have to have a little bit of trouble with transportation and commuting to school if I was doing it in person, but nonetheless, it's legal. And there's a whole raft of reasons why people do it. There's also a large group, now over 16,000 of these students, who are attending virtually schools around the state. And that means they don't actually have to go to McFarland, Wisconsin, is the example I often use, which is just outside of Madison. But they are open enrolling from their home in, could be anywhere, Milwaukee, Northern Wisconsin, Prairie du Chien, and attending these virtual schools.
That's a fascinating additional layer of this, right? Because traditionally with open enrollment, I mean, you have to get yourself there to school. So it does probably, I think, in practice, discourage things like applying all the way across the state. That's not the case with virtual programs. So if you're going to have a student in virtual public school, you can scope out what everybody's doing and apply to any of them.
Well, of course, this is the most tumultuous and I would even say worst school year in the history of America. And virtual learning has been a fact of life for something probably around half of all the kids in the state. But most of those are within their school district. They're doing it at home, whatever. The schools we're talking about are longstanding, permanent virtual schools. And in a way, they've been more appealing this year than in a normal year, perhaps because they are more stable. And one of the things parents, at least a large number of parents, are looking for is stability. And the virtual schools offer that. So they've been popular choices this year.
We're talking with Alan Borsig, who's with Marquette University Law School. He also writes about education for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about open enrollment? Are you a teacher that has seen open enrollment in action? How has it affected the school where you work? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. We've got Katie in Whitehall on the line ready to join the conversation. Hey, Katie.
Hi.
Good afternoon. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to say, so I was open enrolled. I'm now 30, but I was open enrolled in a school district other than my home district from like fourth grade through high school. And I actually now have a kindergartner who we have open enrolled in a school other than our home district. And for us, it's worked really well. In both cases, it was like daycare based. So I was open enrolled as a child because I went to the district that my grandma lived in. So then she was able to watch me before and after school. And my son is open enrolled in the school district where his current daycare is because I work outside of our city. And it's worked very well. He gets on the bus at daycare, goes to daycare, and then gets off the bus at daycare, and I pick him up. And we also did that starting in 4K because the district he was enrolled in offered all day 4K, 4 days a week, versus many of the other districts that were around us that only did either half day or maybe 2 days in person. So it's worked really well. We plan to open enroll our 4K-er next year with his big brother.
Katie, thank you so much for sharing your experience with it. I'm glad you've had a good experience. And Alan, Katie, they're saying some of it is academic, but some of it is just the way the family works and the obligations of work and daycare. That's one reason that Katie's family has gone outside of their district. Is that something that you've seen in other families?
Yeah, I think Katie's reasons are not that unusual. There's an enormous array of reasons why people open enroll. Personal circumstances like she's referring to are one. School quality. There are situations in the state. In several where people are making decisions based on perceived or actual school quality. It's important to know that no one has ever been required to open enroll or to change districts. It's strictly a voluntary program. It is genuinely what you would call a school choice program, even though it's all within the public sector. So people do it because they chose to do it, which means it's generally very popular.
There are reasons that we draw district boundaries. I mean, we carve up places into districts and they have different leadership and different schools and different funding. So why do we also then have this ability to be the exception in Wisconsin?
Well, there are reasons, and a lot of them are more historic than something you could actually pinpoint. Why is the Milwaukee area laid out the way it is in terms of school districts? And there have been reform ideas floated for many years to redo things, for one thing, with a goal of increasing integration within school districts. I mean, the city of Milwaukee has such an enormous concentration of minority kids and low-income kids, and a lot of the suburbs have high concentrations of rich kids and white kids. So school boundaries exist more, I think, for historical reasons than because they have terribly rational reasons. On the other hand, people are extremely loyal to them. They're loyal to the be true to your school. I mean, people are really loyal to their communities and their schools. Like I said, it's voluntary. So people are doing it because they chose to, you know, and some of them are going very close by. You know, if you live near a municipal boundary, you can go to the closest school to you, but it'll actually be in the next district. People are doing that. Others are traveling 30, 40 miles and you got the virtual kids who are enrolling in schools perhaps a couple hundred miles from their house, even though they never leave home.
From the student standpoint, do we know what the verdict is on whether open enrollment is something that people use consistently and, you know, really want to make sure is an option for them?
No, I'm not aware of any research. I'd really love to see it. That indicates how open enrollment is working as an academic tool. Mm-hmm. I think it might depend a lot on what the motivation of the people is, if they're doing it for the kind of personal reasons like Katie. My guess is it's a bit of a toss-up. It may be that the homeschool district the district they live in is not so bad, but they have personal reasons to go a number of miles away, like daycare. And it may be that they really are going to a better school district, in which case they may be getting better results for their kids one by one. In the overall picture, I don't think anyone has any handle. I don't know of any disaggregated research on that, and I don't think there is any.
Yeah, we can see the number of people moving, but not necessarily the effect of them being in a different district versus their home district. We're talking about open enrollment and what it means for students in schools here in Wisconsin. Alan Borsick is our guide. He's a senior fellow in law and public policy at Marquette University Law School, also an education columnist with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And we want to hear from you, 800-642-1234. How have you handled this school year? Did you open enroll because another school district gave your child access to in-person learning? Or maybe you open enrolled because you wanted your kid to be able to participate in virtual learning and you liked somebody else's program. Maybe you just chose not to. What are your hesitations? 800-642-1234. There's a line for you at that number. The conversation continues here on Central Time. You're listening to the Ideas Network. This is Central Time. Right now, we're learning about open enrollment in Wisconsin and why our guest thinks more families are probably utilizing it right now. I'm Keely Boltina. Our guest is Alan Borsick. He's a senior fellow in law and public policy at Marquette University Law School. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And we've got Rod from Madison on the line, ready to join our conversation. Hi, Rod.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question is related to planning and if things go against the original plan. If the school has certain capacity that the faculty can sustain and associate programs that certain number of students, whether it's virtual or in-person, and then all of a sudden there's an exodus into that school district or specific school, how can they handle or are they able to limit? They say, okay, our capacity is maybe 2,000 students, and then when are you going to stop here? How do they handle that situation? And thank you very much for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Rod. And what are we dealing with when it comes to the receiving school being able to say no or even trying to plan for open enrollment, Alan?
Well, there's a short list of reasons a school district can turn down an open enrollment applicant. And the most common one, I think, is because they aren't accepting any because they don't have room. So a lot of districts have used it, especially in the Milwaukee area, I know, to fill empty desks and bring in some money. I mean, there is a money aspect to this that they get some state aid. It's about maybe three quarters of what they would get it for a resident student. But nonetheless, it's not bad as compared to an empty desk. I mean, there are suburban districts in Milwaukee that really wanted open enrollment because they wanted to fill the seats. There's a high school in the South Shore of the Milwaukee suburbs where well over half the students for many years have been from open enrollment, almost all of them from the city of Milwaukee, but they're attending high school in this suburb. And basically that high school, some people have suggested, would not exist without open enrollment. So districts have a more incentive than disincentive to take kids up to the point of filling the seats they have. They can turn... You know, I think districts can turn down kids for other reasons, and some of them are kind of vague, like not in the best interest of kids. There's been indications for a while that some districts are harder to convince them to take special ed kids. Certainly, one of the reasons they can turn down a student is because the student has a history of being expelled or being a chronic behavior problem. So there is some selectivity in who districts take. But overall, districts are glad to have them, especially if they've got some empty seats.
Well, districts are glad to have the people moving into their district, you know, for school, not physically moving because they live in a different place. But that means that their home school loses a good chunk of the funding that they were expecting to have because those kids live in their district.
Well, yes, they're definitely losing. I don't know about the expected thing because enrollment is fairly consistent, so they do plan on it. But the city of Milwaukee loses, you know, Milwaukee Public Schools, there's more than 5,000 kids a year who open enroll elsewhere, most of them into the suburbs, some of them into virtual schools. And they're doing that intentionally. And if, you know, I would hope the people at Milwaukee Public Schools would take this as some reason to wonder what they can do to attract these people back. I mean, as I've said before, this is a matter of people.
Alan, Alan, we might have lost you. I can't hear you right now, so I apologize for that. We'll try to make sure that we get that connection back very shortly. Let's go ahead and take a call now while we work on that. We've got Vivian in Green Bay who is on the line. Hi, Vivian.
In different districts, the calendars are not always the same, especially winter break, spring break. If you're a parent, you might be teaching in the Green Bay School District. Your child is in the Ashwaubenon District, and now your youngster is not in school, and you have to look for daycare. So it would make sense to enroll your child in a school within your district so the calendars match, as well as childcare availability.
Yeah, Vivian, thanks for bringing up that point because, you know, we did hear earlier about childcare, but thinking about the fact that teachers may also choose to open enroll their own children in school districts when they teach in an area that is away from where we are. So thank you so much for bringing up that point, Vivian. And let's also go ahead and take Linda from Madison, who has a question here. Linda, what are you thinking about when it comes to open enrollment?
I'm thinking about whether there's any data that open enrollment increases the learning gap, increases or decreases the learning gap for minority students.
Okay, wondering about how that works either way for open enrollment or for students who are moving when it comes to open enrollment. Let's see if we can get Alan Borsick, who's with Marquette University Law School, in on that question. Alan, can you hear me? All right, we'll keep working on that, but we'll go ahead and make sure that you know that we are taking your calls at 800-642-1234, or you can share your open enrollment experiences with us by sending us an email at ideas@wpr.org. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR. That's at Central Time WPR on Twitter. And we are talking about open enrollment and what it means in Wisconsin. Open enrollment is the process where you live in one school district, but then you apply and are accepted to go to another school district. And our guest, Alan Borsick, is talking about the fact that sometimes that means that the school that you go to is actually closer to your home than where you would have needed to go if you had been within the district. Also talking about how families make the decision for a lot of different reasons. We've had callers explain that it's just more convenient for the family based on the responsibilities of the family. There's also potential that students see an opportunity where courses are available or activities are available in different districts that are not their home district. And then there's also the fact that when we're dealing with the pandemic and schools, some being open, some being closed, some being all virtual, that parents are making decisions based on what they can find. So our guest has written about this and talked about the fact that when students are looking to be all virtual, some parents have opted to open enroll in places that have long-standing experience in virtual learning. And on the flip side, if your school was all virtual and you really thought it was important to have your student in in-person learning, then you may have open enrolled to another district where they were making in-person learning a priority based on what was working in that district. So this is part of the conversation when it comes to open enrollment in Wisconsin. Our guest says open enrollment is actually the largest school choice program in Wisconsin, even though when we talk about school choice, we're often talking about the voucher program, which has a lot of strong feelings attached to it. When more than 65,000 students in Wisconsin last year participated in open enrollment from one public school district to another. You're listening to the Ideas Network, and this is Central Time. Thanks again for sticking with us as we talk about this. You can call us at 800-642-1234. We have just a bit of time left with our guest, Alan Borsick. And we are going to go back to Alan Borsick in just a minute to get his last thoughts on this as we wrap up the conversation. And we are talking again about school open enrollment. And Alan, I think we've got you back now.
I'm here.
Hey, thank you so much. Our last caller was Linda from Madison, who wanted to know if open enrollment decreases or increases the learning gap specifically for minority students. Do we know that in Wisconsin?
Overall, not real well, but there are indications that it does. I'm basing this largely on the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee Public Schools.
Yeah.
The outflow of students to suburban districts is disproportionately white, and it's believed to be disproportionately more middle class and from some of the better performing school local attendance areas, which is to say it increases segregation within Milwaukee Public Schools, and it probably increases the gap, which is to say people are choosing what they think are better schools, but it does have some negative effect, especially on MPS.
Hmm. Why do you think that when we talk about the voucher program sending public money to private school education, that there are a lot of strong feelings there, but we don't talk that much about open enrollment when it's shifting money around in public schools?
I think it deserves attention, not that I'm taking any side, but I think it's a prominent part of the school landscape in Wisconsin and a prominent part of the whole notion that Wisconsin is a very strong school choice state. I think it's less controversial because it doesn't push the buttons of unions that are upset about kids leaving public schools and private schools getting money. And because it is popular, people are doing it because they want to do it. So it's kind of hard to go against people's parents' wishes for their kids. So it is much less controversial than the public school to private school voucher program or charter schools that are run outside of the control of school boards.
Alan, we really appreciate your time breaking down open enrollment and helping us understand its effects here in Wisconsin.
Glad to be on. Glad to talk anytime.
Great. We're talking about open enrollment. That is guest Alan Borsuk, who's a senior fellow in law and public policy at Marquette University Law School, also an education columnist with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We've been talking about open enrollment and how it affects students and school districts across Wisconsin.